It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has recently announced some major reforms to how regional councils operate, with regional councillors proposed to be replaced by boards made up of city and regional mayors and potentially even Crown-appointed representatives called Combined Territories Boards, or CTBs. The shake-up of regional councils has left concerns that the move would water down environmental regulations at a local level, reduce Māori and iwi voices in decision-making, and would result in central government overreaching into local politics. As well as this, Parliament's Justice Committee has recommended passing the Electoral Amendment Bill, albeit with some amendments. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about both of these topics, starting with the changes to regional councils. What is the aim of these changes to regional councils?
Well, these reforms are about lining up the way local government works with the new resource management system. Over a year ago, Chris Bishop and I, who are jointly delegated with replacing the Resource Management Act with a new system based on property rights and a separate piece of legislation that sets environmental limits and enforces them, we took a decision that there would be one plan per region. So instead of this hierarchy of half of the RMA's functions allocated to a regional council and half to a district council or city, we're going to have one plan per region. And we've always said that once we get the function right, then form should follow function. And so the announcement last week was essentially setting out an interim solution so that we can then get councils, well, once we've got feedback through consultation, get councils to start reorganising themselves so they're fit to deliver the new resource management system.
Dr. Mahina Arangi Baker, a lecturer in Kaitiakitanga and Pūtaiao at Te Wānanga o Rōkawa, says the proposal seems like it is directed at making it harder for our local communities to protect the environment. What do you have to say to this?
Well, that's not correct. Currently, regional councils have a significant role on paper in protecting the environment, and yet we think about where I live in Auckland, there's a regional council function which hasn't really worked that effectively on stopping wastewater overflows onto our beaches. It's been decades since the Resource Management Act was passed, and we've seen very slow progress in fixing that. And we also need to look around other parts of the country where there are water shortages, and yet regional councils have made it almost impossible to build dams. And one of the good things about building a dam is that when there are dry periods, you can release more water into rivers to recharge groundwater and to make sure that ecological habitats are supported. It's one of the reasons why we're replacing the Resource Management Act with two new specific pieces of legislation, one for planning and development and one to protect the environment. We actually think we can do much better.
RMA Minister Chris Bishop says that the proposal would also mean there would be no mandatory iwi representation and that Māori constituencies would be abolished alongside regional constituencies. Are you concerned this could lower trust amongst Māori voters who feel it is important they are represented in regional decision-making?
Māori voters are already well represented in regional decision making. There's only a tiny fraction of Māori voters who vote for Māori candidates and Māori wards. New Zealanders are well represented in the system we have now. But the point is, we're changing the system. And so, as I said, if form follows function, we're not going to need multiple layers of regional and then district council subservient to them, and we're not going to need separate regional policy statements from district policy statements. In the new system, we're going to have one plan per region, which is going to have district chapters and an environmental chapter, and it would make sense that we have one coherent organisation to deliver those functions in each region.
Former Christchurch Mayor Leanne Dalziel, writing on Newsroom, says that the proposed move would be subject to total government control with the Minister of Local Government given the final say. How would the government guarantee that local democracy still retains a fair amount of autonomy?
Well, like I said, this is essentially an interim process to realign the structure of local government with the structure of the future planning system. So I'm sure that once the details are revealed, and that's following consultation and following completion of system design over the next year or so, that there will be there will be a clear role for local representation, and that, you know, people who want to be able to have their say over zoning, you know, is the place I live suitably zoned for the type of homes that we need? In many parts of the country, you know, we don't have sufficient capacity to build up, and we also don't have the infrastructure to support it. People know that. We're having that conversation right now around Auckland's proposed plan change. The things we all agree on is we need more affordable housing, and we need more smaller units because people aren't living in such big family units anymore. There's lots of people, you know, living in ones and twos rather than threes, fours, five, sixes and sevens. So, you know, we need to be able to adapt to those matters, and local people will be able to have their say.
There are hopes that this move would increase public trust in local democracy. However, Auckland, for example, which is a unitary authority, had the lowest voter turnout in this year's local elections. What evidence is there to suggest these changes to regional councils will boost New Zealanders' participation in their local politics?
Well, look, like many people, I'm really concerned about the low voter turnout in Auckland. I think there's a number of reasons for that. People could feel that despite their vote, when they do turn out, the things that they vote to change or the policies that they vote against just continue on anyway. And it's as if the machine, the bureaucracy of council ignores the wishes of elected members and voters. I mean, we're seeing that right now in Auckland, where I live in Te Aratu Peninsula. Over 80% of residents have voted against reducing our weekly rubbish collection to fortnightly. We pay nearly $500 a year towards our refuse and waste management and recycling services, and yet council wants to halve what we get. Now, council officers have said, oh, we're going to do it anyway. So, you know, you can see why trust and confidence in local government and voter turnout has therefore fallen. I think in the new resource management system, people are going to feel that they do have a chance to have a say, and particularly as property owners and those who are renting and living in our cities, you know, often feel that they're not heard. They will be heard in the new system.
On to our second topic. Parliament's Justice Committee has recommended passing the Electoral Amendment Bill, albeit with some amendments. How does the ACT Party feel about the committee's recommendations, such as the transitional arrangements for prisoner voting and amending the bill to require the Electoral Commission notifies an individual that their address would be updated?
I mean, you're temporarily losing the right to vote because you're serving a sentence for a serious crime is consistent with what many other democracies do around the world. You know, serious offending does come with consequences. So the ACT Party is fully aligned with that. The bill would just really make some practical changes so that elections can run on time and we can get the result that we need in the right time frame. You know, some of the things that the bill does, it matches the enrolment deadline to the start of advanced voting, keeps the rolls up to date, for example. That's one of the things that you raised around notifying change of address. That's really important, so we make sure that the electorates are suitably sized for the number of voters in them. We've just gone through an electorate boundary review, and you know, where I live in Te Aratu Peninsula is now no longer in the Te Aratu electorate. Well, it's changed its name. We're now in the Glen Dean electorate. All of these things are really, really important so we can keep the voting system up to date. And, you know, you think about enrolment. Enrolment's compulsory. So when you turn 18, you must enrol. It's the law. And you can enrol when you're 17 and a half. You don't have to wait until the day you turn 18. So people have plenty of notice. And, you know, there's 1,000 days between elections. It's not particularly demanding what we're asking people to do, but it really is about making sure we can run really efficient elections and, you know, people can have confidence in the result that we get as soon as practical after voting closes.
The bill had its first reading back in July. What's next from here?
Well, the select committee process taking on board the ministry responsible's advice so that the bill, if any amendments are taken up by the minister responsible, can then be passed through the House and we can get the new system in place before the next election in 2026.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court about the shake-up to regional councils and the Justice Committee recommending the Electoral Amendment Bill pass.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.